Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the Graceland Church podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
I want to share a message today called God's Presence Comes with Purpose. And I want to start with the story of two birds. You'll see on screen a chicken and a dove. These are birds that act very differently, and more importantly, they symbolize two very different ways to live. A person characterized as a chicken is afraid, backs down from challenges, avoids risks, and is too nervous to try new and hard things. My two youngest kids, who are 10 and 7, will often try to egg me on to try to get them to play tag or tickle monster, which I do all the time, but they still want me to do more by calling me a chicken. They're like, "Dad, you're just a chicken, you know. We're going to beat you." And at first, I just ignore them, but then they start balking and calling me chicken. And eventually, I got to destroy those kids and go after them. By the way, just so you know, on that note, I didn't do that much this week because I basically threw out my back on Tuesday. Yes, I am a middle-aged man, and I've been able to function kind of, and it's getting a little better, but I'm not doing a ton of hugs or leanovers today. So if I look like frigid and elderly today, just know what's going on with my back and pray that it gets better. I'm also going to use my readers today when we read the scripture. So I'm just embracing all of it at once. So chickens are known to be afraid and they scatter easily. On the other hand, a person characterized as a dove, which is in the Bible symbolizes the Holy Spirit, is powerful and at peace, has a quiet confidence through challenges, and is courageous in flight. And I believe that today, God wants to move all of us away from the chicken and towards the dove. And I want to quote my friend Tim Enlow, who has a book by this title, and it's number one in your notes. "Goodbye, chicken. Hello, dove." On the count of three, I want you to say that loud with me. We're going to say "goodbye, chicken," and "hello, dove" together. One, two, three. "Goodbye, chicken. Hello, dove." Let's do it one more time, but not like chickens. One, two, three. "Goodbye, chicken. Hello, dove." Come on. That's what the message is about today, and I hope you'll remember those two animals. We get the idea from Scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." So the dove, who represents the Spirit, gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Another way to make this declaration is number two in your notes. Goodbye, cowardice, fear, and anxiety. Hello, courage, peace, and adventure. If you're a note taker, I encourage you to write those down. Make no mistake. God desires for you a life that is full of courage, peace, and adventure, not cowardice, fear, and anxiety. And I think we settle far too easily for looking at life through the lens of worry and fear and timidity. And I believe God wants to stir something in you today by his Holy Spirit to help you see through the lens of the dove. I think the reason we struggle with this oftentimes is because we live in a world and we have a sinful nature that tries to sell us a lot of different ways to find peace, a lot of different ways to find adventure, and a lot of different ways to find courage. And these ways don't work. They might work for a little bit. Some people even call alcohol liquid courage. Give me some liquid courage. And Scripture's really clear. Drunkenness is not for us as believers. There's no pill or alcohol or drug that'll give you the peace that your soul desires. There's no amount of money that will solve this for you. There's no amount of sex and relationship and even a wonderful marriage and kids. Those aren't the things that ultimately meet the deepest need of your soul. There's no entertainment. There's no success or achievement. Look at me for a second. God alone answers the core longings of your soul. God alone. And they are only realized in the depths of your heart through the Holy Spirit. You may not know this about the Holy Spirit, but every interaction you have with God is through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you a theological framework for that today. The death and resurrection of Jesus opened up the door that we could be made righteous through Christ. And then 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're going to read the text today where we become the temple of the Spirit. Number three, on the day of Pentecost, the dove entered the people of God. That's what happened. The Holy Spirit was poured out. The church was born. I like how Corey Russell says it. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus went viral. Because when Jesus was doing his ministry, he had his inner three, Peter, James, and John. Then he had his 12 disciples. Then he had about 120 that were disciples and kind of following with him as this crowd. And it was those 120 that he told to wait in the upper room for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus ascended to heaven after his death and resurrection, he said, it's good for you that I'm going because my Father will send the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then when the church was born and indwelt with the Holy Spirit made Jesus known to every person and he went viral. We are still serving Jesus today because the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit makes known to us who Jesus is. We cannot know Jesus or receive from Jesus or walk with Jesus apart from the Spirit. He is the only way to go from chicken to dove. And the Apostle Peter, who we've been studying recently, is a great case study in this. Peter arguably was the closest friend of Jesus. He was always listed first, Peter, James, John. Peter, right there, in person with Jesus for 3 years. You would think he'd be crushing it out there. But before he was received the Holy Spirit, Peter himself, and it was prophesied that he would do this, cursed and denied even knowing Jesus when Jesus needed him to stand with him the most, when Jesus was arrested and taken to his crucifixion. Didn't bother Jesus. Jesus knew it was going to happen. But Peter was absolutely crushed by it. And we get crushed by our own failures as well. We can't live up to the standard of Christ. We fall into the lifestyle of the chicken or the thought patterns of the chicken. And then that same Peter was restored by Jesus, received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and was the first one that got up and boldly declared the truth of God. And later in the book of Acts, even under threat of death, Peter became courageous when he was filled with the dove. How many here would like to move from chicken to dove in every aspect of your life? I would even encourage you, think right now, don't say it out loud or raise your hand. But in what areas are you just being like a chicken? For real. We all do it sometimes. In your own thoughts, you're like a little balking chicken sometimes. And God wants to help you see today, I believe, that that is not how he's called you to think, not how he's called you to speak, and not how he's called you to live. And there is a confidence peace that will allow you to soar in the way that God has called you to through the dove. So let me just take you to like Bible school for a second. I want to give you a theological framework of the Holy Spirit because a lot of people haven't been taught this. So there are one God, according to God's word, with three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is referred to as the forgotten God because people don't think of the Holy Spirit as God. They think of the Holy Spirit just as like a force, and Star Wars didn't necessarily help that. I just went and saw Mandalorian yesterday with my son, so I'm all about the force, but that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, fully God in and of himself, according to the scripture. The Holy Spirit was not made. He is fully God Almighty. Chizubam Edosa, who's an author, said it this way. The Holy Spirit's work has been evident since the beginning of time. He was involved in creation, spoke through the Old Testament prophets, was intimately involved in the life of Jesus through his incarnation, his birth, baptism, ministry, and his resurrection from the dead. The Holy Spirit inspired the written word of God. After Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent the Spirit to make a permanent home in our hearts. The Spirit now dwells in the church regarding to the body of believers. And the Greek word is parakletos. The paraclete is the Holy Spirit. It is our helper. He is our advocate. He is our guide, our comforter, our counselor. All these things are available to you through the person of the Holy Spirit. And I love counseling. I have a counselor. But talk to the good counselor who knows way more than you do, the Holy Spirit. I love that we have people that can comfort us in our lives. Sometimes my wife comforts me or I comfort my wife, but we both have access to the comforter, the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad we seek help from wise counsel, and we should do that. I get a lot of wise counsel in my life, but how sad is it if I'm acting like a chicken when I have access to the dove himself, who is the good counselor who knows all things? I like to think of it this way. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He knows more than you know. Let's read the account. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. If you have your phone, you can turn there. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there. It'll be on screen as well. We're going to read out of Acts 1 and 2 and look a little bit at the purpose of God's presence. This is right after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the same author who wrote Luke also wrote the book of Acts. So this is like part two to the Gospel of Luke. And it chronicles for us everything that happened after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Let's read in chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, he's writing to this person named Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Pause there. Jesus himself, according to the text we just read, gave the instruction to the apostles as he ascended to heaven through who? The Holy Spirit. The whole life and ministry of Jesus, he was not accessing his divinity as Jesus. He was accessing the power and life of the Spirit. We see that clearly through all of the Gospels. I like how Ed Newton gives these six simple points. He calls it the ultimate collab between the Holy Spirit and Jesus. But according to Scripture, Jesus was conceived by the Spirit in the Virgin Mary, work of the Spirit. Jesus was affirmed by the Spirit as his baptism. Then right after he was baptized, the Bible says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us in places that are surprising to us. We see that all the ministry Jesus did, as he taught, as he healed, as he delivered, all the miracles he did through the power of the Holy Spirit. According to Scripture, Jesus was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. And it's that same Spirit that he empowers us with. So the whole life of Jesus is not just Jesus being God and doing things that we're not meant to be a part of. It's Jesus modeling for us how we're meant to live with the dove. Tracking with me on that? Jesus actually said we would go and do the things he did and greater. Jesus gone viral. It's not that any of us have the ability to do anything Jesus did. It's that we have the Holy Spirit living in and through us. Verse 3, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. So great that we serve the risen Christ. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this leads me to point number 4 in your notes. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you today. I've been in counseling with people a number of times, and they've said things like, Pastor Nathan, it would be so great if I could just meet Jesus. How wonderful if I could sit with him and just have a conversation and hear him directly speak into my life. Well, according to Scripture, this Holy Spirit baptism is the access point we have to literally sit down with and receive the illumination of the life and teachings and word of God through Jesus. This is the invitation. This is the living God in us. We are commanded to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here's how I say it for me and how I pray it for you. I want everything God has for me. Anybody with me on that? My prayer for you is to receive everything God has for you. So if Jesus himself, while being led by the Holy Spirit, said we should wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that this is a gift we should rejoice over, I'm going to pray, God, I want the fullness of your baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life because I want everything you have for me. And I love what happens next in verse 6. Look at this. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Because his disciples thought the primary purpose of the Messiah was going to be to overthrow Rome in that generation and reestablish Israel. That's what they were hoping the Messiah was going to do, but it was not the time for that. And they have in mind their solution to the problem they have. And I think so many times when we pray to God, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm like, God, here's what I'm struggling with, and here's how you need to fix it. Here's exactly what I want you to do to make everything work out right in my life. And let me encourage you. One of the principles that we are reminded of on Pentecost Sunday and walking with the Spirit is that he knows more than you. And when you pray, when you talk to the living God, I encourage you to let go of all the exact ways that you think Jesus needs to do what you want him to do, and trust that he's taking care of his business just fine, including your very life. And look how, I love how gently Jesus answers them. He said, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, he's saying, it's not time, guys. He's pasturing them. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And I love that because he's saying, you're not going to have the answer to this, but you're still going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And I find that a lot of people, when thinking about the things of the Spirit, lots of questions rise up. And I get that. I get questions. People have done a lot of weird things in the name of the Holy Spirit. You know, Pentecostal churches, we attract the crazies, you know? We do, because the crazies can be here and be like, God just told me this. And we're like, really? Tell me about it. And they might be just off on the deep end. You know what I mean? Hearing God's voice always starts with God's word. And God does speak. And my conviction is this. I'd rather have the real work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and attract some of the crazies than just close myself off to the Holy Spirit completely. Anybody with me on that? Like, I want to know the Lord. I want to walk with him. And I love this little pastoral moment with Jesus and his disciples because there are so many things when I'm talking to God that I wish he would just answer. Is this when you're going to meet that need, God? Is this when you're going to do this in our country? Is this where you're going to help me with this issue in my family? And oftentimes Jesus is like, not now. Or maybe it's not for you to know. I need you to trust me. But you will receive power. Isn't that powerful? You can let your questions just rest at the feet of Jesus and say, God, I want the power of the Holy Spirit. And look what he says. You'll receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Number five, God's presence comes with purpose. There's a reason you're here. There's a reason you're alive. You are not your parents' idea. You were God's idea. He fashioned you in your mother's womb. You are a miracle. And there's a reason you're sitting in this seat today. There's a reason you feel drawn to the purposes of God, because he wants you to abandon your life to the purpose of heaven. He wants to fill you with his presence so fully that you know and love Jesus, and it can't but help flow out of you. So with the remainder of this message, it's really the closing. I'm going to give you these four purposes. It's going to be A, B, C, and D of the presence of God that comes to us. And we saw the first one right there, that we will be witnesses. A, be a witness for Jesus. It's a simple litmus test even for whether you've been filled with the Holy Spirit or not, whether you know Jesus or not. If you start sensing bubbling up in you a desire to share the love of God with someone else, it's a good evidence that he's in you. If you have no desire to share the love of God and Jesus and the gift of the Spirit with those around you, he might not be in you. You might need to say, God, that was me as a teenager. I was in church hundreds and hundreds of times before I really knew the Lord and was infilled with the presence of God. And when it says Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, it's talking about local, regional, national, and global. And let me just say it to you this way. Every single one of you, me included, you're called to be a witness to Jesus right here locally with your family, whoever you're sitting next to, your friends, your neighbors, whoever comes into your mind right now. You're also called to be a witness of Jesus regionally, right around this region, Franklin, Spring Hill, Thompson Station, Columbia, whatever it is for you, in your school, a little bit outside of your school. You're also called to be a witness for Jesus in America. There's only one hope for America. His name is Jesus. There's only one hope for this birthday we're going to celebrate. That's spiritual awakening led by the Holy Spirit of God. We have to be witnesses in our nation. We're also called to be witnesses to the very ends of the earth, according to Jesus. Jesus said it, not me. Jesus said it, not someone just trying to have global impact. Jesus calls you to have impact to the ends of the earth. That might just be through prayer and giving. It might also be through going. God might be calling you. We know that God has called us to be an equipping and ascending church of ministers and missionaries to the ends of the earth. If you feel a stir as I talk about this right now, talk to me. We want to equip you for the mission that God has called us to. We partner with missionaries all over the world. We go on trips. We send resources. Why? Because the purpose of his presence is to be a witness. We don't just stand in services all day, every day. God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you're with us. No, that presence comes with the purpose called the mission of God. It gets stagnant real quick. It loses. If you're showing up for worship services and you're losing your fire for worship, it's probably because you've disconnected from the mission of God. You've disconnected from the purpose of his love. But when you're in his purpose, in his mission, living as a witness, man, his presence takes on a whole new light. Because it never just comes to us and stops. It comes and fills us and moves through us to the very ends of the earth. Picking up in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2. Turn with me. This is now right as the Spirit is going to be poured out on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. That's 120 of those followers of Jesus. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So we see there the wind and the fire of God. And I got to give you again a little Bible school understanding about the history of that. The Old Testament, throughout the entire Hebrew Bible, the wind and the fire of God are representative of two specific things, and two things only: God's presence and the establishment of the temple. So they would build the temple according to the specifications of God, and then the fire of God would fall on it, the wind would blow, and his presence would fill the temple. The Ark of the Covenant. That's how he dwelt with his people throughout the Old Testament. So as they moved the Ark of the Covenant, as they walked around the desert, the presence of God went with them. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. And so the significance on the day of Pentecost, all these people know that history. They know what the wind and the fire of God means. And this is a moment pregnant prophetically with God's plan since before the foundation of the earth. Think of it. The people of God are now there. Jesus has died but rose from the dead. So we, his people, are now made righteous. And God blesses that, his plan, into the new covenant, the age of grace, by pouring out his Spirit with his wind and his fire, sealing it with his presence in the new temple, the people of God. We are the temple. The very presence of the living God now in us. Yet sometimes we live like little chickens. How crazy. How sad. Get in the flow of the dove. And part of it is the second purpose of God's presence. B, use the gifts of the Spirit. I don't have time to do a whole teaching now. We'll do it at some point. We'll do a whole teaching on the gifts of the Spirit again. I've done it before. There's all these gifts the Bible talks about. One of them they started using right there in the text we just read. They started speaking in tongues. A heavenly language, something given by God, and sometimes actual other languages that other people would understand, as we're about to see in the book of Acts. I believe in speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues every day of my life. It's a part of building up my spirit before God. The Apostle Paul, later in the New Testament, articulated that when I pray with understanding, meaning in my English language, it builds up my mind, and that's important. But when I pray in the heavenly language God has given me, it builds up my spirit and does things for me and for my loved ones and for everyone I'm praying for that I don't even understand. I'm praying in the flow of what I don't even know. And we're going to pray if you want to receive that gift today. We're going to pray for you. The gift of prophecy, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, healing, miracles, discernment, administration, service, creative gifts. These are all gifts of God's grace by his Spirit. And here's what I want to say to you. Don't let the gifts on your life sit dormant. Walk with the Spirit. I was the other day about to make a really big decision, and I was making it by sending an email, and it was going to make that decision. It was a significant email. And I've built into my life the practice of praying before big decisions. And this decision has already come with years of prayer, but this was a moment that I was about to hit send. And I paused for another moment and felt a little prompt. I can't describe it except for the Holy Spirit in me. I didn't hear a voice. I didn't actually see a dove descend on me. But I thought of a name, and I had a sense in my heart I should call this person before I send this email. And so I did. I stopped. And I just trusted this is the Lord leading me. And I called this person, and I told him what I was about to do. I explained the situation, and they said, don't send the email. They said, I didn't know this, had come into relationship. The person God put on my heart to call had come into relationship recently with the person I was about to email. and had some inside information that I was unaware of that I needed to make that decision. I didn't even know that that had happened. I didn't know they had had communication to that degree, but God prompted me, put them on my heart, changed the whole decision. Reason I say it, the gift of discernment. In your business, in your decision-making, in your relationships, in your financial choices, the Lord himself will help you. Now, that doesn't mean you're always going to have like a name drop in your heart and a prompt in that way, but it does mean stop and pray and welcome the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Use the gifts. Let's read on Acts chapter 2, starting in verses 5 through 11 now. I'm going to go back to my Bible, actually. Starting in verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Now in verse 9, it lists a bunch of the cities and nations that they're from. I'm going to go ahead and attempt to read them, and I want you to clap for me when I'm done, because this is what my Bible college education got for me. There were Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Thank you. Thank you. That was my Bible college education at work right there. How incredible. They heard all these languages from all these nations, from people that they knew did not know those languages. Another purpose of God's presence is C, declare the wonders of God. That's what they said. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. And put a little parenthesis next to declare the wonders of God, right? Beyond our understanding. Declare the wonders of God beyond our understanding. You see, it's both with things like tongues, but also with like shouts, also with tears. There is something so inexpressible about the goodness and the love and the presence of God. I can't tell you how many times I have been worshiping the Lord or caught up in the presence of God, pouring my heart out to God, and I'll try to write a song or a melody that expresses it. Impossible. I'll try to write a sermon or articulate a poem or some kind of language that could somehow express the cry of victory and joy and peace. No, I can't even find an English word that does it adequacy, because it is beyond anything we can comprehend or even try to communicate. And the thing that has given me peace in that is our only response is worship beyond our understanding, sometimes in without even words, declaring the wonders of God. And my prayer for you is that you'd be so filled with the dove that you'd have these moments, they're transcendent, where you can see God. See him. Not physically. You're with him. Now, I've never physically been with God, but I 100% have stood right with the Lord and like seen him. I've seen angels. I know I have. I didn't see them physically. I was once in my teenage years walking around my parents' house praying. They were all at work or school. I was the oldest. And so I was, you know, had flexibility in my schedule. I was praying. I was a new Christian and I was praying for protection around my family and my parents and my little brother and my little sister, and just worshiping and like crying out to God in the presence of God. And I stood, we lived on a lake in Virginia Beach. I stood at our little door that was glass that looked over the water. And I just knew there was like a warrior angel standing right on the outside of our house by that glass. Couldn't see him. Inexpressible sense of the wonders of God. Anybody tracking with me on this? I want to invite you back to the mystery and the wonder. I want to invite you back so you don't have to have all the answers. You can walk with God and with the dove who will lead you on the great adventure. Come on. Less chicken, more dove. I don't have all the answers for those things. I'm not saying everybody should have the same experiences of me. I know people that say they've heard the audible voice of God. I never have. Does it discourage me? No. I follow the dove. Walk with the Lord. Let's read on Acts 2, verses 12 through 18. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them. By the way, you're going to get made fun of. Can we just accept that together? Some of you might be making fun of me in your heart right now. Be like, this guy is nuts. I don't care. People have been making fun of me about Jesus since I was in school. I don't care. I sometimes care, actually. Let me be honest. Sometimes I do care. I do care. I do care. I try not to care. I try not to care. Seriously, like, I'm a pastor. Like, this is recorded. It goes out online. Our team puts up little... I have friends from high school that I know just think I am so ridiculous, but I don't care. I want to be a witness to them about the living God because I want them to know Jesus. I have family members that know, they think I'm off my rocker. They don't know the Lord. They think it's crazy. I don't know what they think. They think I'm in it for personal gain. They think crazy things. You're gonna get made fun of. You gotta let that go. My young people in the room, middle schoolers, high schoolers, college students, you're gonna feel immense pressure. It makes me cry when I think about this because I lived it. I lived it. You're gonna feel immense pressure from other kids to feel like this is just stupid. You're gonna feel different than every other kid. And I want to encourage you to rejoice because of that, because it means you're marked by the different master. If you don't feel different than any other kid, I want you to ask yourself, Lord, is there something more I'm created for? And the answer is yes. As you step into this, the enemy is going to try to mess with your head and intimidate you away from walking out your faith. There are segments in our culture, in our country right now, that look down on people of faith, especially Christians, so incredibly. It's so condescending. They're gonna try to make you feel so small. They're also gonna try to make you feel so judgmental just by declaring truth and grace. Just by saying there is one way to the Father, it's Jesus. Just by being clear about morality, they're gonna try to make you think you're so judgmental and make fun of you and degrade you. Don't give into it. Just walk with the dove. He will lead you on. And I just wanted to pause because you're not alone. They made fun of them right when the church was born. Right away, the very first day there was a church, people were like, this is stupid. So we're in good company, aren't we? I want to be with these 120. I want to be the one getting made fun of, not the one making fun of others. I don't want to find myself in those shoes ever. We walk in unity with the Church of Jesus across all these denominations and different streams and tribes of the church. We walk in unity under one banner, Jesus. We don't elevate ourselves over any other denomination or church. We walk together and we don't make fun. We walk and we follow the dove under the banner of Jesus. So some, however, made fun of them and they said they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11. Now here's the former chicken. Peter stood up with the 11 in the public square. It's not like they were in church. It's easy to get up and preach in church or at youth group. Try doing it at school. Try doing it out at Walmart. Try doing it downtown Franklin when something goes crazy and people are in a fight. That's the context here. Try being in downtown Los Angeles. Peter stood up. Now filled with the dove, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem. This is a public address. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams, even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. That's the chicken who's become the dove, declaring the word of the Lord. 3,000 people got saved that day. First day of the church. Power of God. It's the beginning of the promise of Jesus coming true. You will be my witnesses. Right here in your neighborhood and to the ends of the earth. D, that fourth purpose of God's presence. Bear fruit that lasts into the new creation. Let me explain what that means. The Bible talks about bearing fruit as how we are called to be productive as Christians. It's not because we work hard. It's because we connect to Jesus and he is fruitful through us. That's the posture. And the Bible says there is fruit that lasts when we are walking with Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Apart from that, we will try to bear fruit, but we will bear fake, empty fruit that doesn't last. Fruit that lasts is what we're called to bear, and it lasts into eternity, the new heavens and the new earth. So I'm glad for those of you that have big goals for the end of your days on earth. I'm glad you have retirement set up. I'm glad you're thinking about what you're going to do when 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. But I don't want you to peak too early. You're meant to build into eternity fruit that lasts. It's kind of like those that peaked in high school. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you peaked in high school and it's been downhill since then? It's like those that are junior and seniors, and they're so popular. They're so cool. They're so good looking. I always felt like the guys. I was okay in high school. I was kind of like connected to all the different crowds. But I was a late bloomer when it comes to like being a man, you know? Like, I'm still working on that. I like some of the guys in 9th, 10th grade, they already looked like fully grown men, and I looked like a little boy, like walking into school. So I was always like, I wanted to grow up more. And those that peaked as juniors and seniors, just kind of a joke, they were the greatest, and it's been downhill since then, and now they're all trying to get jobs from the nerds that they were picking on in 11th and 12th grade. And here's the thing, I don't want you to peak in this life. We're meant to build into eternity. So ask yourself, is my life bearing fruit that lasts? Hey, it's great if your company's going great. Are you bearing fruit that lasts? I think we as pastors fall into this too. We're way too satisfied with just like having a crowd. Just because there's a room that's filled doesn't mean the room is filled with the Holy Spirit of God and bearing fruit. Just because a church makes budget doesn't mean the church is making disciples. So I don't want to think we're doing well. I want to challenge myself with really what God has called us to. Are we bearing fruit that lasts? Are we raising up disciples that make it, that go into the new heavens and the new earth? And I challenge you to ask yourself the same question. The fruit of the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit indwells you, you've probably heard these, is love. It's a powerful love. It's not a weak love. It's a powerful love. Joy. It's a powerful, defiant joy that overcomes all circumstances. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How do we do all this? And here's what we're going to close with, Acts 2, 36 through 39, if you'll read with me. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit right there. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and for all whom the Lord our God will call. I'm so thankful the promise of the Spirit is for my kids. Any parents with me? That should be a loud amen. It's for my grandkids. Anybody with me? It's for all who are far off. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you might ask this, Pastor Nathan, I'm not worthy to receive the Holy Spirit. You might be thinking, you don't know what I did last night. You don't know what I've been thinking about. You don't know my mistakes, and that's true. But here's what I do know. I know that your sinfulness is the same as mine. And I know that we all stand completely unworthy at the feet of Jesus for anything holy in us. But here's what I know. The gospel says that Jesus died for us while we were sinning. That includes you. That means when you receive Jesus, you receive his victory and you get clothed in his righteousness and you can become the holy temple of the living God. It is by faith. You've got to start believing you are who God says you are. You have to believe it. It's all by faith. Jesus declares us of you the temple of the living God. And Graham Cook articulates this well. As the worship team comes up, I want to read you this. He said, the first time I heard this, I almost fell over because I'd never heard anything so wonderful. All of heaven is attracted to Jesus in you. Straight away, that set me free. That Jesus in me is enough. Whether I'm doing well or badly in my own estimation doesn't really matter a whole lot because it's Christ in you that is your identity, Christ in you that is your life, your freedom, your joy, your laughter, peace, your everything. Christ is all in all. I used to think when I was a kid growing up in church, probably like a lot of you might think right now, okay, I'm going to get Jesus and I'm going to get the Holy Spirit. And then I'm just going to work so hard that I'm going to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Then I'm just going to be so good, I'm going to be able to do it all. Nope. Here's what I found out. You still remain reliant on the only one who is good. It is Jesus in you that the Holy Spirit and all of heaven is attracted to. And the fruit of the Spirit does not come from you. It comes only from the Spirit of God. You can't generate it without him. That's why Jesus said in John 15, your whole job is to stay in Christ. Keep the branch connected to the vine. Then you'll bear fruit. Not because you're trying hard, but because you're connected to the vine. If you break off, you're going to start to be fruitless. You're going to start to try in your own strength. It's going to be exhausting. It's not going to work. But when you walk and encounter the presence of the living God, the fruit flows through you. The fruit just happens. The ability to forgive just happens. The ability to love just happens. You see everything in an entirely different light. So Lord, I thank you for my friends today. Thank you. You brought them into this room with this church at this moment. And I know there's a purpose to it. First, I pray for those that feel like they're just so disqualified and they could never step in to your plan for them. I pray that that lie would just be torn down from their mind and that today might be a big yes for them. If you want to become a Christian, just pray it in your heart. Jesus, I want to know you. I ask for forgiveness for my sin. Ask for forgiveness for how I have fallen short of your glory and your plan for me. I've been selfish. I've hurt people. Forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept your forgiveness this morning, and I commit my life into your hands. I want to know you and follow you for all my days, and I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I want all that you have for me. You know, church, let me say one thing as I continue that prayer. Theologically, a lot of people get into debates about, do you receive the Spirit as soon as you're saved? Do you still pray for the baptism of the Spirit subsequently? How do you do that? I want to encourage you, forget about all those theological problems. I think the enemy uses it to get us reeling around in our own heads and to get us away from simple prayer. Ephesians says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you study what that's saying, it says, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage you with the idea that you should be filled with the Holy Spirit every single day of your life. There's the daily bread of the God, from God with the Holy Spirit. Each sense of the Spirit that we receive is enough for the day that we're in. Similar to our breath, think of it this way. Continue to close your eyes with me. The breath that you breathed yesterday is not enough for today, am I right? You got to continue to breathe in the oxygen, breathe out the praise of God. It's the same with the Spirit. Be filled and be continually filled. And I just believe that God is speaking to some people today that you need to get a fresh vision and call of being continually filled with the Spirit every day of your life. And it's not that you weren't yesterday. It's just that you need to be with him again. You need to be in his presence, be in his courts. Set your gaze upon him. Breathe in once again. Will you stand with me all across the room?